Our first lesson this morning comes from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Here ends the first reading.
After 3 chapters of adventures and still no baby, our story picks up with this. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The word of the Lord. Choosing the name of a child. It is one of life's great choices, filled with awesome responsibility. For some parents, naming a child comes fairly easily. The choice of a name seems obvious, and both parents agree. For others, it can be a very stressful challenge. One parent may be inclined toward old family names, the other wanting something more unique or contemporary sounding. One loves the sound of a certain name, the other doesn't like it at all. One partner wants to decide well before the due date. The other wants to wait and see the child before bestowing the name. People come into marriages with vastly different family histories of choosing names and widely varying opinions. My husband Larry and I were fairly lucky in this regard. We both like the idea of using family names, and our families were filled with some pretty awful choices, so that narrowed the field considerably. There was, for instance, my father's name, which none of my siblings had used, and my mother became quite sentimental about it long after he had died. So my being the youngest of six and bearing the last of my mother's grandchildren, she asked, "Please, why not you?" "Mom," I remember saying, "how can you look at a little bundle of newborn soft flesh and call him Marmaduke?" Well, they had in my family for five generations. And that was not even the worst of the Norfleet family names. There was my beloved great uncle Bun, whom we visited every summer in Winston-Salem, whose name was Bunyan Snipes Womble. It's a curious thing how a name rings beautiful and distinguished in one generation and not so much in the next. The naming of a child is an awesome responsibility, and you have to wonder if the first family of faith even had any discussion about what to call their son Isaac. It's an interesting choice when you get right down to it, because it comes from a rather embarrassing moment in the script of their story. Isaac means he laughs. And our text would lead you to believe that his very name comes from his mother's disbelief in God's promise. Sarah laughs at God. She gets caught, and she lies about it. And God says, "Oh no, I heard you laughing." Don't you imagine she was mortified getting caught laughing at God like that? And then she had a child, and they named him Isaac. He laughs to remind her. And every generation that came after her, including us, of her laughter at God. Why did Sarah laugh? The circumstances of our scripture this morning hardly describe a laughing matter. Sarah and Abraham have long since left the safety and security of home, and they have been traveling on nothing but the promise of God for some time. Between where they started and where we read this morning, many adventures have taken place, and it has not been an easy journey either. They had packed up and set out, leaving the familiarity of home and land and family behind, with little more than a vague promise of blessing. When the promises of God did not come, they began to take the promise keeping into their own hands. There was famine in Canaan, for example, so Abraham went down to Egypt for food. He was afraid that Pharaoh would kill him in order to have his beautiful wife. He lied and said that Sarah was his sister, and she was almost swallowed up into Pharaoh's harem. But God rescued Sarah by sending great plagues, and the family was on the road again. Abraham bargained with his nephew Lot for land. He went to war with four eastern kings. While Abraham fought, Sarah schemed as her biological time clock ticked forward. forward with no child. Sarah gave her maid Hagar to her husband that he might father a child by her, and Ishmael was born to Hagar. Again and again, God gives the promise. But again and again, Sarah and Abraham try to make the promise happen for themselves, because God's blessing just dangles, unfulfilled, opening upon an uncertain future. Therefore, in the story before us, when God came strolling up in the guise of three strangers, offering yet again that old Sarah was going to have a baby, she doubled over in laughter behind the tent door. Nothing in their situation makes God's promise believable. She is too old, and so is her husband. No wonder Sarah laughed. She laughed long and hard in disbelief. And when she finally got around to giving birth to a child, Abraham and Sarah named him Isaac so that generations to come would remember her laughter in response to God's unbelievable promise. I don't think laughing at God comes easily to us. Like Sarah and Abraham, we too have journeyed into a strange and ever-changing landscape of faith towards some hallowed call and vague promise. We read the news of the day and cannot help but wonder about the promises God makes. But dare we laugh in response? We also live in the seeming disconnect between what God says and what is. We trust God, for example, to be the great healer. But when healing doesn't come, who laughs? We proclaim God promises life and life abundant, but we open the morning paper and read all about death. What's so hilarious about that? We pray for a peace, not of this world, but we can hardly hear our own prayers over the sobbing of people we love and a world full of hurt. Who dares laugh at that? What is so funny about God's promises hanging out there, just dangling before our own uncertain future? So is there any room within us or around us to embrace Sarah's bold laughter? Robert Provine, a neurobiologist at the University of Maryland, studies laughter as an animal behaviorist might study a bird's song or a wolf's howl. He believes that laughter functions as a kind of social signal and that humans develop the capacity for laughter to strengthen social bonds. Laughter occurs when people are comfortable with one another, he writes, when they feel open and free. And the more laughter, the more bonding within the group. He and others believe that the first human laughter, way back in antiquity, might have begun as a gesture of shared relief at the passing of some danger. It developed into a common social signal that says, now we can relax. When we laugh, these studies show that muscles do, in fact, relax throughout the body. Most people know the feeling of laughing so hard that you have to hold on to something to keep from falling. Since this relaxation inhibits the biological fight or flight response, laughter is a signal of trust in one's companions. It is a ritual disarming. So if you hold then that scientific research together with Sarah's laughter of disbelief, she gives us permission to laugh and to laugh boldly at the promises of God, precisely because we trust in God's companionship. Given what God had called them to do, Abraham and Sarah could not help but have a sense of humor about it, and a faith that is willing to laugh may well be a vital sign of God's presence in our lives, too. Do you remember how Mother Teresa lived her faith among the poorest of the poor and the terminally ill? We now know that she suffered long and terrible bouts of depression and doubt in the promises of God. But once she was being interviewed by a newspaper reporter who was finishing up his interview when it occurred to him to ask her a most practical question. Given your ministry, the reporter inquired, what do you think the rest of us can do to live out a good life? Fully expecting her to say something impossibly hard like, sell what you have and give it all to the poor, Mother Teresa surprised him, saying simply, smile at the people you live with and laugh. The reporter was taken aback and pressed the issue. That's easy for you to say. You don't face family pressures or spend your days in common workplaces like others. Oh, said Mother Teresa, I live with Jesus. Believe me, he's a hard person to live with. To live with God is to smile at the people around us, to laugh at God's impossible promises, because ultimately the joke is on us. God's promises are coming true. The gift of new life in the midst of death, the coming of a peace that passes our understanding, the ultimate blessing of all the families of the earth. So when you're wondering what on earth God has in mind, unconvinced that God's glorious promises will ever be fulfilled, just remember, laughter is a signal of trust in God's companionship. And remember, in her old age, Sarah had a baby and named him Laughter. Because is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Amen.